This is Morning Air.
This is about educating a people that for 40 years haven't been given the full truth. It's time now to speak the truth.
When you do things to the best of your ability, keeping Jesus number one and doing everything you possibly can for His glory, that's a winner.
You are called to make the light of Christ shine brightly in the world.
Bringing the light of Christ to start your day.
This is Morning Air with John Morales on Relevant Radio.
It's Friday, April 1st, 2022. Good morning and welcome back to hour number two of Morning Air. I'm John Morales. Glenn is off today. Thanks so much for joining us across America on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. It's good to be with you on this first Friday of April. Now, tomorrow is the 17th anniversary of the death of Pope St. John Paul II. We're going to spend some time looking back at his historic pontificate here this hour. It's also a big weekend for NCAA basketball. It's March Madness in full swing in college basketball, one of the most anticipated Final Fours ever, with Duke taking on North Carolina and Kansas facing Villanova tomorrow in the national semifinals. These four elite programs have combined for seven of the last 13 national championships. Duke coach Mike Krzyzewski, who is Catholic, is retiring after this Final Four. It's his 13th overall. And so for many, Coach K is the sentiment favorite. Longtime Northridge Prep basketball coach Will Ray recently spoke to us here on Morning Air about Coach K.
Coach K is going to go down as the greatest coach in history of certainly of NCAA basketball, to be sure, but perhaps maybe the greatest coach in all of sport, and that's professional as well as amateur, U.S. as well as international. I mean, we look at the obviously the wins in the championships, right, to be sure. 1,200 career wins, 100 NCAA wins. I think he's been to 12 Final Fours and has won five national championships, not to mention all the Olympic gold medals and such. But, you know, it's really more than that as I look at Coach K's career and what a great influence he has been, not only on me, but on so many coaches around the world, really. And it's not, again, the winning alone, but how he goes about his business, right? How he cares for his players beyond basketball, his graduation rates over the course of his career at an elite academic institution. So, just a great career. And you can't help but not pull for him.
And many people are also pulling for Villanova, especially out east, our Relevant Radio audience. Villanova is a Catholic university. They're in the Final Four for the third time in the last 6 years. As always, we begin every hour in prayer, especially we continue to pray for peace in Ukraine, in Russia, asking our Lord through the intercession of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, the Mother of God. And we also are praying in a special way this morning for the repose of the soul of Regina Siskevich, who passed away yesterday morning after a three-week battle with cancer. Regina is the 31-year-old daughter of Tom Siskevich, the producer for the Drew Mariani Show. We are praying for Tom and his family. Tom, we are with you, and we begin in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Our Lady of Guadalupe, patroness of the Americas, patroness of the unborn, and patroness of Relevant Radio, pray for us. Saint Joseph, patron of the Universal Church, pray for us. Saint John Paul II, co-patron of Relevant Radio, pray for us. And we invoke the Holy Spirit when we pray. Come, Holy Spirit, come. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our power scripture from the Playbook of Life is from Matthew 18:20. Jesus the Lord said to his disciples, "For where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I in the midst of them." Our Lord Jesus Christ reminds us that He is with us if we come to Him united in prayer. Christ is present among us in many different ways. He's present in the Mass. He's present in the sacraments. He's present in persona Christi, in the priest. He's present in the Word of God and whenever we gather for prayer. That's why the Lord hears our prayers here on Relevant Radio. When we unite in prayer as a family, when we pray the Chaplet of Divine Mercy in the afternoon with Drew, in the family rosary across America with Father Rocky every night, Christ is with us. And we always pray with great confidence, Jesus, I trust in you.
Dear young people of the United States, praise be Jesus Christ.
Now, tomorrow, April 2nd, is the 17th anniversary of the death of Pope St. John Paul II. His 26-year reign was the third longest in the history of the papacy. Only Pius IX and St. Peter's pontificates lasted longer. Pope John Paul II went home to the Father's house at exactly 9:37 p.m. Rome time on April 2nd, 2005, on the Vigil of Divine Mercy Sunday. Listen to part of my report as heard on Relevant Radio on the passing of St. John Paul the Great.
There are many who believe that before it's all said and done, Pope John Paul II will go down as the greatest pope since Peter the Rock. In fact, just after he passed away on the eve of Divine Mercy Sunday, Cardinal Angelo Sodano called him John Paul the Great. Over 4 million people crowded into Rome when the Holy Father died, many of them young people. His funeral became an impromptu World Youth Day, as the very young people who loved him so much and were so influenced by him came to say goodbye. The funeral of Pope John Paul II was the most watched television event in human history. Millions of people around the world heard the homily of Joseph Cardinal Ratzinger, the man who would become his successor, Pope Benedict XVI.
The Holy Father was a priest till the end because he offered his life to God for his sheep and for the entire human family with the constant daily giving of himself in the service of the Church, and especially during the tough, difficult trials of his last months of life. So he became one with Christ, the Good Shepherd, who loves his sheep.
John Paul II was Pope for over 26 years, the third longest papacy in history. This Holy Father touched the Catholic Church and the world in a most profound way, using every means of the media to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Remember what Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Those who follow me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Because Jesus is the light, we too become light when we proclaim Him.
Coming up at the bottom of the hour, we'll continue to pay tribute to the life and legacy of Pope John Paul II. Relevant Radio CEO Father Rocky, Father Francis Hoffman, who was ordained by St. John Paul II, will share his memories of JP2 and his historic papacy. Now, one of the many writings of Pope St. John Paul II that he left us was his 1995 encyclical, Evangelium Vitae, the Gospel of Life. 27 years later, the battle between the culture of death and the culture of life continues to this day, and threats to human life are greater than ever before. Joining us now is our regular contributor, Mary Helen Fiorito, for more on St. John Paul II and the Gospel of Life. Mary is an attorney, public speaker, and commentator on issues involving Catholic Church teachings, administration, and religious freedom. She also holds the position of the Cardinal Francis George Fellow at both the Ethics and Public Policy Center and the DeNicola Center for Ethics and Culture at the University of Notre Dame. Good morning, Mary. Thanks so much for joining us. Great to be with you once again as we continue to remember St. John Paul II.
little misty-eyed there listening to some of the clips that you just played. I cannot believe it's been 17 years. I remember exactly where I was when I heard that he had passed away.
I remember it so clearly, too. In fact, I get misty-eyed every time I hear his voice, and it brings us back, you know, listening to those moments really kind of bring us back to the emotions that were going on worldwide. Where were you at the time?
Well, I was at that time working for Cardinal Francis George, the late Archbishop of Chicago, as his executive assistant. And it was a Saturday. It was a beautiful day in April. And we were all in the office, all of the staff, because we knew at that point he was dying and that the Cardinal was going to have to leave for Rome very quickly. So I was at my desk in the office, and the Cardinal's press secretary came in to tell me that they had just learned he had died. You know, and it had been, as you mentioned, 26 years since a pope died. And back then, when John Paul I died, the papal nuncio, you know, started like a phone chain to call each of the bishops in the United States to tell them before the news was presented to the media. So, you know, we didn't know how we were going to find out if the nuncio would call us. We could only speculate. But then, of course, with modern media and with social media, of course, at the start, we all found out pretty much at the same time. You know, the world all learned at the same time, which was, you know, sort of very much like John Paul II. Everyone was an equal to him. You know, it was interesting. Someone was asking on Twitter the other day, on Catholic Twitter, about the siblings of different popes and was surprised to learn that Pope Francis had siblings. And I think we all got used to John Paul II for so long. You know, for 26 years, he was left without his parents. I think his father died when he was only 21. His mother had died when he was a child, and then his only brother died. And so he was kind of an orphan when he was in his very early 20s. And I remember watching a wonderful video documentary about the day he was elected pope, and you know, the people and you know, yelling in the streets of Krakow. And they asked one of the women who knew him, you know, what about his family? Does he have family here? And she said, no, he belongs to all of us. And I've always remembered that sentiment. He belonged to all of us. I think everybody felt close to him, you know, and I think that's why you saw all these people showing up for the visitation. All of Europe was on trains coming there. I mean, everybody felt like he was their grandfather in some ways, and you had to go to be there to pay your respects to him. So, I remember Cardinal George saying at the press conference that we had before he left for the airport that a person like John Paul II comes along once in a lifetime. And he did not, you know, speak in that way very often. So he really meant that and believed it. This was a man that, you know, we are all lucky to have experienced in some way, shape, or form, but who comes along once in a generation, once in a lifetime.
No question about it. I'll never forget. We were live on the air. It was just after noon Chicago time. The Drew Mariani Show was airing on a Saturday because we were in anticipation that the Holy Father could die at any moment. And I remember the moment that he died. Christine Mudrich, who was our Rome correspondent at the time, she just got so emotional when the news broke. She couldn't speak. She literally broke down and said, "I'm sorry, I can't go on." And she started crying live on the air. And I just never forget it, in front of, you know, 100,000 people in St. Peter's Square at the time.
Yeah, well, I'm sure everybody else in the square was crying too. So, I mean, that was just, it was just one of those moments. Everyone lost their composure. And we all knew it was coming. We were all, like I said, I was at work because we knew that this was happening. The Cardinal's bags were packed. But by the same token, when the finality of it, right, the finality of death, it just broke everyone's hearts because he was so loved. He was such a loved man. And and everyone knew, even if you'd never met him personally, that he loved you. Somehow every person knew that this was a man who cared about you and who loved you. And, you know, again, that's a very special gift God gave him and, you know, preparing him through the life that he had. And if your listeners have not seen Witness to Hope, which is the documentary based on George Weigel's book, I would really struck, it would be a beautiful thing to watch for Lent tomorrow on the anniversary of his death, that goes through his childhood in Poland and how the Nazis were occupying his country and then after that the Soviets. I don't think most Americans have a sense of really what he went through and the number of times he almost died as a young man. He could have been executed just for being in the seminary. So this was a man whose life was marked by a lot of suffering, a lot of personal suffering, but you would never have known that from knowing him. He was the most joyful, kind, outgoing person who loved life and who loved God's gift of life.
No question that he loved life. In fact, he's known as the Pope of the culture of life. According to St. John Paul II, to be pro-life is not to start with moral claims or a list of issues or accept or reject any of these, but instead it was to begin with God revealed by Jesus Christ. Can you explain for us his vision, his teachings on the gospel of life, Evangelium Vitae?
Well, he had that's a document, papal encyclical that he wrote and was released on the solemnity of the Annunciation on March 25th, 1995. So it just had its 25th anniversary as well. And in that document, the Holy Father talks about the gift of life that comes to us through Jesus, and how, I mean, we talked about this when I was on for the solemnity of the Annunciation, that Christ became a helpless unborn child in the womb of his mother Mary. So that is a message to us, right? That Scripture doesn't come out and condemn abortion, but we know from the fact that Jesus became an unborn child, that unborn children have value just as Christ had value and dignity and his humanity as an unborn child. So we begin there, that life is a gift, that God creates life, and then he kind of looks at all of the modern ways in which life is threatened. And he talked about things like, you know, not only abortion, which of course was the key part of the document, but he also talked about contraception and sterilization and capital punishment and euthanasia and, you know, certain types of poverty that are incompatible with living a life that's based in human dignity. So he really sort of tied together all of the different life issues. He didn't equate them, but he linked them. And so that's a very important way for us as Catholics to look at them, you know, that we are called, even for, you know, prisoners on death row, we are called to respect and defend those lives.
There is a passage of St. John Paul II of when he came here to America that I have always taken to heart, the words that he said to our nation here about life. He said, and this is St. John Paul II here doing one of his trips, "America, you are beautiful and blessed. The ultimate test of your greatness is the way that you treat every human being, but especially the weakest and the most defenseless. If you want equal justice for all and true freedom and lasting peace, then America, defend life." Mm-hmm. I think, Mary, those words are so inspirational and powerful.
Well, you know, they are, and it echoes what Mother Teresa said when she came to the United States. You know, she didn't mince any words and said, you know, if you want a nation of peace and prosperity, you need to stop abortion. I'm paraphrasing her. That's not exactly the way she said it. But, you know, if I had both St. John Paul II and St. Teresa of Calcutta making that same statement to my country, I certainly would do all in my power to pay attention to it and to do something to end it. These were not people who, you know, made statements frivolously. So obviously they really felt they had been inspired by God to tell our country that, to warn our country that, you know, I mean, the United States is one of only seven nations in the world, John, that permits elective abortions, so elective meaning healthy mom, healthy baby, up until the moment of birth, after 20 weeks of pregnancy. I mean, we're in company with, like, North Korea and China. And so I'm glad that St. John Paul II and Mother Teresa warned our leadership, but warned the people here, the thing that's going to undo America is the way that we treat the most vulnerable among us, including unborn human beings. And a nation that kills its unborn children at the rate we do can't survive long term. So I know there are many, many good Americans here and we see the laws now. We know that Roe is going to be overturned in June, we're quite confident that it will be, but we really have, that's not enough. We really have to make this a country where all human life is protected and defended.
In this final minute, how can we follow the teachings of St. John Paul II in Evangelium Vitae and build a culture of life?
Well, you know, it's really is a very accessible document. I know sometimes the words papal encyclical intimidate people, but this should not intimidate you. It's available online. You can pick up a print copy at the Daughters of St. Paul or your local Catholic bookstore, and it's really a very interesting read. He does not use complicated theological or philosophical language. He just very plainly lays out the challenges that we face, not only in the United States, but in the world. He wrote this for the world. But also, you know, if you have, you know, people who might be claiming that you can use the scriptures or you can use Catholic teaching to somehow justify abortion, he nips that in the bud right away, and he does it very, very clearly. He uses language like "I declare," and "I maintain," you know, language that is very, very directive to Catholics, that abortion is the teaching on unborn human life in the Catholic Church is what he called unchanged and unchangeable. So people should know that. But I would also recommend, again, the documentary, Witness to Hope, which is based on George Weigel's book. I saw it on PBS. They often run it around the time of his death again, so your local PBS station may be showing it. If not, I think you can stream it or watch it on YouTube.
Absolutely. And of course, you can actually read the Gospel of Life if you go to the usccb.org website. You can find the entire text of St. John Paul II's encyclical Evangelium Vitae. As always, Mary, I really appreciate you being with us and your memories and recollections of St. John Paul II.
Well, and I would say to your listeners, ask him for something special today. If you to tomorrow, rather, on the anniversary of his death. He's very generous to people on special days, so the day he went to be with the Lord is a great day to ask. So if you have a special intention, entrust it to him tomorrow. Ask him to help you, and he will.
Mary, I am forever indebted. You just reminded me. I prayed at the tomb of John Paul II back in 2007. 10 days later, my now adopted Joseph Dominic was born.
Well, you know, we were told we would, after I had my second daughter, we would never have any more children. And on his birthday, I remember exactly where I was. I knelt down next to my bed. I said, "God, please just let us have one more baby." And the next month, I found out I was pregnant. So, and I had been told I was definitely infertile and I wouldn't have any more children. So I believe that, you know, your child and my child were both gifts from him. And again, it's a special day. Ask him. Ask on special days. He's always very generous.
Love from above via JP2. Mary, that's why we get so emotional talking about John Paul
II. I know. Now we're going to be all verklempt for the rest of the morning.
Thank you so much. Thanks so much.
Have a great weekend, everybody. God bless you.
God bless you, too. Mary Helen Fiorito, and for more, you can find her on Twitter, at Mary Fiorito. We need to take a short break. When Morning Air continues, our Relevant Radio CEO, Father Francis Hoffman. Father Rocky will be with us to look back at the life and legacy of Pope St. John Paul II for tomorrow's 17th anniversary of the Holy Father's death. Stay with us. There's much more to come here on Morning Air after this.
I would like to invite each of you to listen carefully to God's voice in your heart. Listen to His voice. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. Open your hearts, open up your hearts to Christ. The deepest joy there is in life is the joy that comes from God and is found in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Jesus Christ is the hope, is my hope. He is the hope of the world.
Do not be afraid as we continue to remember St. John Paul II. Welcome back to Morning Air. I'm John Morales. Thanks so much for joining us this morning. Tomorrow, April 2nd, is the 17th anniversary of the death of Pope St. John Paul II. I'll never forget where I was that day. It was the Vigil of Divine Mercy Sunday. We were live on the air. I was the network correspondent for the Drew Mariani Show at the time when we were with Drew live on Relevant Radio as we awaited the word from Rome. Our Rome correspondent at the time, Christine Mudridge, was standing by in St. Peter's Square. This is the way that NBC News reported the death of Pope St. John Paul II.
And good day. At 2:56 p.m. here in New York, East Coast time, NBC News has confirmed and is adding to the reports of other news agencies at this hour that an incredible journey, an extraordinary life, has apparently come to an end. We are reporting the death of Pope John Paul II at the Vatican. He was 84 years old. This comes at late evening in Rome. Thousands of people have gathered almost spontaneously over the past 2 days. They have been chanting and singing songs. They just heard a public announcement that the Pope was no more. And now you see the initial reaction.
Gloria al Padre, e al Figlio, e allo Spirito Santo.
Pope John Paul II went home to the Father's house at exactly 9:37 p.m. Rome time. That was 1:37 Central on April 2, 2005. We're now joined by Father Francis Hoffman, Father Rocky, the CEO of Relevant Radio, to talk about the life and legacy of St. John Paul II. Father Rocky is a priest of Opus Dei. He was ordained by Pope St. John Paul II. He's the author of several books, including Mary at the Crossroads of History. Good morning, Father Rocky. Thanks so much for joining us on this first Friday as we remember the life of St. John Paul II. It's great to be with you.
Hey, John, thank you so much for having me on the air and for the superb support from your team there to bring these sound bites. Brings us back to that moment 17 years ago already. And as you were leading to the show, you had some sound from St. John Paul II as he's speaking in English, and his English was quite good. And I'll never forget the first time I heard St. John Paul II speak in English. It was early October 1979, he was making his first pastoral visit to the United States about a year after he was elected, and I was down at Grant Park in Chicago, Illinois. And I remember, because it's a huge crowd, maybe you were there, certainly many of our listeners were there, and I'm thinking, wow, I can understand this guy in English. I can understand the Pope. That was a new thing for me, because popes were, they were foreigners, right? They lived 5,000 miles away. They rode into crowds on these sedans carried by people. It was almost like a Middle Ages sort of event. They spoke Italian. I didn't know a word of Italian, but here's a guy who walked on his own 2 feet and worked the crowd and looked in the camera and spoke English. And I said, wow, this is really, really something, Pope here in our town. He's the first Pope I understood in English. And then he had that amazing tenure as a Roman pontiff, you know, one of the longest tenures of a pope. I think it was, what, like from 78 to 2005. That's 27, 28 years, one of the longest popes who reigned. And I remember very well, almost as if it were yesterday, you know, the final days of his life. And I remember on the day leading up to his death, we knew the end was near. And I was called by the Drew Mariani Show to give my own words. And I was in a car on a cell phone in California. And this is already 17 years ago. I'm thinking, wow, the marvel of telecommunications. I can be on a, well, at that time we were a regional radio network. Now we're national or international. But it was really something. And then hearing that commentary from the NBC commentator said, the end of an incredible journey, extraordinary person. And then days later was the funeral of St. John Paul II. I was not there in person in Rome. But I think it's the only time in my life I got up at 3 a.m.
Me
to
too,
watch
Father.
TV.
Me too.
I said, like, I am not going to miss this. And it was stunning, really, to see everybody there, just about every head of state. What a an amazing impact this man made on the contemporary world. And even those who were not physically present, let's say the prime minister, or however you would call it, of China and the Soviet Union, you know they were very much paying attention to everything. And I was thinking, isn't that a paradox? Isn't that ironic? The papacy in the year 2005 has less land, has less resources, has less of a standing army than it's had in probably since the time of Constantine. And yet the moral weight and impact of the papacy, the Roman pontiff, is stunning. And we see this continue today. We saw just last week on Friday, Pope Francis and that huge audience that tuned in last Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Central Time, not only on Catholic media, but it had reverberations in all of the secular media around the world. Only the successor of Peter, only the Roman pontiff, whoever he is, has the standing and can make the claim that he can consecrate the world to the Blessed Mother, the Immaculate Heart, consecrate Russia and the Ukraine. And it's really quite fascinating. We see this with our own eyes. Whether you believe it or not, it's a fact, you know, and it draws all that attention. So I remember that very well. And I remember the very final moment of the funeral mass as they placed the Book of the Gospels on that simple wooden casket and the wind was blowing. And one by one, the pages turned until it got to the last page at the end of the last syllable of the last song in Latin. And I'm going, holy smokes, that was
amazing.
That must have been the Holy Spirit doing that. Do you remember that?
Absolutely. I totally remember. Father, I it's hard to ever forget some of those moments. I remember being on my knees watching on television, like you said, at 3 a.m. to watch the funeral, which at the time it was being described as the greatest television event in human history. I mean, it seemed like the entire planet was watching the funeral of John Paul II. And, you know, people of all stripes, all religions, everybody tuning in because that's who he was. But I think all of it goes back to being the vicar of Christ, just like Pope Francis is the vicar of Christ. That's where he gets his moral standing.
It is, you know, the vicar of Christ. So vicar is an old term from classical Roman civilization, the Roman Empire. It is a term for governance. You know, they were put over a portion of the Roman Empire. In this case, as the vicar of Christ, he stands in for Christ to rule the church that Christ established. And so Jesus established his church upon the rock of Peter. Peter means rock. And he said to Peter, the apostle, you are Peter, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. That's Matthew chapter 16, I think verse 16 or 18, something like that. And it's unique in the experience of human history, but not all the popes are the same, all right? I mean, I know a little bit about history. Life is rich, and the history of the church is rich. There was one point in the Middle Ages when three men claimed to be the pope. That was a time of great anxiety for the Christian faithful, of disunity and dissension. And some popes have been holier and more impactful than others. Some have made a bigger impression and carried out the mission of Christ more effectively than others. We have to remember, whoever is the pope, he's just a man, just a human being, Homo sapiens, right? Made out of the same flesh and bones that we are, and they really need our prayers, and they need an abundance of the grace of the Holy Spirit so that they can receive and activate the gifts of the Holy Spirit, wisdom and understanding and knowledge and counsel and fortitude and piety and fear of the Lord. Because their mandate is very clear. Their mandate is from Jesus itself. Go out into the whole world, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And sometimes the teachings of Christ are not easy, like turn the other cheek. Or if your eye is an occasion of sin, pluck it out. If your hand is an occasion of sin, cut it off. Now, thankfully in the Catholic Church, we have the nuance to be able to understand when you take those statements literally and when you can take them figuratively. So if people have a hard time controlling their sight, you don't actually have to pluck out your eyes, folks. You can close your eyes or turn off the TV or turn off the internet, all right? You don't have to go around blind. And if you are a kleptomaniac and you love to steal things, you don't actually have to cut off your hand. You can just say, I'm not going into that store, right? I'm not going to do that. So that's one of the things that I've always found very appealing to the Catholic faith. It appeals to the heart, but it really appeals to the mind because our intellect that God has given us seeks truth. It seeks good data, clear data, the ability to understand data. You know, now in these 2 years of COVID, I have a much greater appreciation of the difficulty of getting timely, reliable, accurate data that is free of assumptions. It's very hard, I think, in any kind of thing, because there's always certain assumptions that go into your analysis of data. But anyway, here we are to celebrate the life of St. John Paul. Tomorrow will be the 70th anniversary of his going to heaven. What a day to go, right? On a Saturday, which was the vespers of the great feast he established, this Feast of Divine Mercy, on a Saturday evening wearing the scapular. And you know what that means, John, that if you die wearing the scapular, Our Lady will release your soul from purgatory on the Saturday after you die. So the best bet is to die as late on a Saturday as possible.
It was so fitting because he really was the Pope of Mercy, the Pope of Divine Mercy, instituting that Divine Mercy Sunday that's going to be coming up very soon for us this year. But there's so much that we can talk about the life and the legacy of Pope St. John Paul II. I want to take a moment to invite our listeners. If you remember where you were when Pope John Paul II passed away, maybe seeing the funeral mass, maybe you had a chance to actually see him in person. If you want to be part of our conversation with Father Rocky, we have open lines. We'll take your calls at 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. We need to take a short break. We'll continue our discussion about the John Paul the Great with Relevant Radio CEO Father Rocky. Stay with us. There's much more to come on the other side.
We have lost what I would say is the greatest figure of the 20th century. John Paul II, a man who was not only a great intellect and a world figure, but a man with a pastor's heart and a mystic's vision. Because of this, he helped so many of us to draw closer to the church through his persona. We were looking upon him and we were seeing the Christ who loves us, a figure that comes along once in a century, that is a gift from God, a figure that has helped us to understand our faith and our responsibility to this world with a much greater profundity.
That was Archbishop Jerome Lestecky, the Archbishop of the Archdiocese of Milwaukee, remembering the life of St. John Paul II, as we are doing here this morning. Welcome back to Morning Air. I'm John Morales. Thanks for being with us. We're continuing our discussion with Father Rocky, Father Francis Hoffman, the CEO of Relevant Radio. Father Rocky, welcome back.
Hey, great to be with you, John.
Father Rocky, there's so much that we can talk about when we remember and reflect back on the life of St. John Paul II. What really stands out in your mind? There's so many different things that we could talk about.
Sure. It's a challenge to unpack the whole thing. You know, we just heard Archbishop Lestecky saying that John Paul II is a pope who comes across the world stage once in 100 years. I kind of look at him as a figure once in 1,000 years. Think of him as one of the great reformers from like the Middle Ages, Hildebrand or the rest. So simply because Gorbachev from the Soviet Union came to pay a visit to him in his own house. And if you want to try to unpack that, you know, it's the East versus the West. It's Christianity, Catholicism, and Orthodoxy. It's all of that that's in play. I was there in Rome in 1989 when Gorbachev came. But, you know, what's going to be the lasting legacy of St. John Paul II? Or the night before he died, he said to all the young people in the square, "You're my legacy." It's the young people. So, you know, you have to wait a long time for history to really unpack something. I think the thing he'll be most remembered for is giving the church the five luminous mysteries, right? Because this enters into the daily practice of Catholics all over the world before his time, with three sets of mysteries: joyful, sorrowful, and glorious. And then in 2003, towards the end of his life, he gave us the luminous mysteries, and we pray those luminous mysteries every week on Thursdays. And more and more people are praying the daily rosary, and it all goes back to that. I think another one of his great contributions is that he liberated the Petrine ministry, right? That's the ministry of the Pope, from being a prisoner to the Vatican to going out to the world, and really has established that expectation that the Pope needs to travel. So Benedict traveled. In fact, Benedict celebrated Mass in Yankee Stadium, John, You're a baseball fan. What do you think about that?
I remember, and you were there. You were there. You're reporting from
the
house that Ruth built.
Yeah, 2008. So John Paul II kind of shuffled the deck, and now that's the expectation that the Pope will go out to the world. Pope Francis continues that, even at his age, you know, traveling to far and wide. I think another thing St. John Paul II will be remembered for is his ministry of teaching. And he gave the church something the church hasn't had in 500 years, and that is a bona fide statement of the faith known as the Catechism of the Catholic Church. And people may resist it, you know, but in fact, it is, as St. John Paul II said, it's a reliable and bona fide declaration of what the church believes and what the church teaches. And it's been sort of, in some ways, an emancipation proclamation from ignorance for lay people, because lay people can pick it up in their own hand, and they no longer have to ask, well, what does the church teach? Because this person teaches this, and that person teaches that. What does the church teach? Well, it's right there in black and white for everyone to read. And you may like it or you may not like it, but at least there's clarity about what the church teaches, and then everyone can make their own choice whether or not they want to embrace that and be a Catholic or not embrace it and go their own way, I suppose, right?
So much to talk about.
That was huge, because he...
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I was going to say that, yeah, there's just not enough time to really dive into so many contributions of St. John Paul II. I had asked listeners if they wanted to join us. John, Father Rocky, is joining us from Philadelphia. Good morning, John. Welcome to Morning Air. You're on with Father Rocky.
Hi, John.
Yes, thank you for the great honor. My finest memory, okay, was when John Paul, in 1979, I imagine just before he went to Chicago, came to Philadelphia.
Yeah, I remember.
And I was appointed as an extraordinary minister of the Eucharist, and I was three blocks away, okay, from where the Pope was having, Holy Mass. And so you can imagine in every direction, it was just wall-to-wall people. And people were riveted on this, what had been a fountain. They covered it over with wood. The Carpenters Union covered it over this big fountain, okay, with wood. And up on top was John Paul celebrating Mass. So everybody had a
Is that by where the Art Museum is? John,
yeah,
I've been to the Art Museum.
Right across from the Art Museum, yes.
All right, that's where Rocky ran.
And it's across from, it's across from the... we have a cathedral, St. Peter and Paul. So there's a great cathedral there. But it wasn't big enough to hold John Paul, the throng of people who wanted to come out and celebrate with him.
Yeah, no, that's that's one of the most magnificent settings in our country, that boulevard there in Philadelphia. I remember it. You know, I remember he came to Boston. He came to New York. I think he came to Washington, D.C. that time, Philly. And then he had a Mass in a cornfield in Iowa. Do you remember that?
Yes, I do.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, no place was too great or too small. Okay, yeah, John Paul came to us all, you know.
Yeah, no, it was really something. He got energy from the people. And I think one of his greatest speeches, he had some great speeches. I think one of his greatest speeches was his farewell address to America at the Detroit International Airport in 1987. You know, he really believed in the American project, you know, of freedom, of equality, of participation, of, an opening and welcoming culture to all. Having lived in, the horror of World War II in Poland and in Europe, you know, he really was thrilled with the American project. So, John, thanks for sharing that
yes,
with
Father,
us.
Yes, Father, thank you very much. And God bless you and the wonderful work you are leading. So,
God bless you, John. He's listening on 640 a.m. out in Philly. It's a 50,000-watt station, John. It's a flamethrower.
Thanks so much, John. Appreciate it. Thanks for calling in. Father Rocky, I can't help but think of Pope St. John Paul II as the Marian Pope. Totus Tuus was his motto.
Yeah.
So much that we can learn about loving our Blessed Mother, honoring the Mother of God from JP2.
Oh, I think you're right about that. You know, see, it had a very simple papal shield. It was so simple it was kind of noteworthy because it didn't have all that fancy jazz that European heraldry usually has, just a simple cross at the bottom, an M. And at the bottom was the statement totus tuus, which is short for I am all yours. And the M at the foot of the cross is Mary at the foot of the cross. And from the get-go, he was dedicated to Our Lady, and he prayed the rosary and promoted the rosary constantly. And if you ever had a chance to meet the Pope, and I did, actually, John, on six occasions.
You were ordained by him.
Yeah, I was ordained with him. That was pretty good, yeah. Right?
Yeah, I had a chance to meet him once, and it's a moment in time I will never forget. It only lasted about a minute, and I was face-to-face with greatness. I was so excited to meet him. I was on my one knee, and I held his hand, and I said, Holy Father, we love you, and I forgot to kiss his ring.
Good for you. Good for you. Well, you know, one of my biggest regrets in life is I met him on Easter Sunday, I think it was 1989. The young people of Opus Dei, there were about 3,000 of us in the Cortile di San Damaso in Rome. We were putting on a show for him, yeah, getting a chance to relax. And I had a chance to meet him, and I had my speech prepared. I was going to ask the Pope, hey, Holy Father, I know you love to go skiing. Would you like to go skiing? You know, I thought, wouldn't that be cool to go skiing with the Pope?
That was great.
But when I got to him, I couldn't say anything. It's like, blah, 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 you know, and I couldn't get it out. Because I think he would have said, hey, yeah, let's go skiing. Because we found out later, long after he died, that he would take off from the Vatican sort of incognito in the winter months to go skiing for a day in central Italy. How about that?
Yeah, he was known as as the athlete's pope. He loved sports of all kinds. In fact, Mike Piazza, the Hall of Famer of the Mets and Dodgers, was standing right behind us with his jersey, and he met John Paul II that same moment that I met him. Never forget it, Father.
Wow, that was really something. Yep. So, you know, what's his legacy? We're his legacy, and to the degree we can promote the clear teachings of Jesus Christ and a spirit of evangelization, reaching out to the young people of Marian piety, and especially, you know, his words there, do not be afraid. You know, that was the words he spoke from the moment he was elected. He showed that with his life, and I think that's why people responded to him, because he was a courageous leader, and he knew where he stood. And I'll never forget when he gave that pro-life speech on Washington Mall, October 7th, 1979, saying that when the life of the child and womb is threatened, we will stand up and defend that child. And I got goosebumps because I thought, oh my goodness, that's really courageous. People shoot courageous people. I thought at that moment, 1979, somebody could shoot that guy. And they did 2 years later, but Our Lady protected him because he was fearless. He was courageous. And I think that's why people responded to him. And I think that's why there were the huge crowds. You know, he was a real leader at that moment in time. And now it's up to each one of us in our own situation, our own environment, to be those leaders for Christ.
Amen. Father Rocky, thanks as always for being with us. Really appreciate it. Great memories.
Thanks, John. God bless you.
Father Francis Hoffman, Father Rocky, the CEO of Relevant Radio. Now it's time for another episode of Glenn's Story Corner.
Our story today is called Building Your House. An elderly carpenter was ready to retire. He told his contractor of his plans to leave the house building business and live a more leisurely life with his wife, enjoying his extended family. The contractor was sorry to see his good worker go and asked if he could build just one more house as a personal favor. The carpenter agreed, but in time it was easy to see that his heart was not in his work. He resorted to shoddy workmanship and used inferior materials. It was an unfortunate way to end his career. When the carpenter finished his work and the contractor came to inspect the house, he handed the front door key to the carpenter. "This is your house," he said, "my gift to you." What a shock. If he'd only known he was building his own house, he would have done it all so differently. Now he had to live in the home that he had built none too well. Colossians 3:23, "Whatever you do, work heartily, as for the Lord and not for men."
Thanks, Glenn. As Pope St. John Paul II famously said, do not be afraid. Open wide the doors to Christ. I'm John Morales. Thanks so much for joining us on behalf of the whole team. We'll see you on Monday. The Patrick Madrid Show is straight ahead.